The opening pasuk in Parshas Emor, the Gemara in the end of Yevamos in Perek Cheresh, has a drasha on the pasuk Emor v'amarta l'hasi v'dorim alaktanim, that even though the katan is a katan shelo higel achinuch, the child is an infant, he doesn't understand anything at all, you're not allowed to give him non-kosher food. That's a real din. It's assumed that's a din deraisa. The Gemara has three psukim. One pasuk is by Tumas Kohanim. You're not allowed to be metamei a kohen katan, even though the child doesn't understand anything. He's a little infant. Another pasuk is by Shvatzim. There are three psukim in the Gemara derives from Kol HaTarakula. Also, this pasuk be adam. You're not allowed to give treifas to a child. The question is this because the child is a katan and someday he'll become a gadol? So it's an inyan of chinuch, even though he's a lab bar chinuch, he doesn't understand anything. What if Chalila, a family, has a child who's a shaita, a retarded, a cheresh? He's never going to straighten out. He's never going to become normal. Are you permitted to put the child in an institution, in a government institution, where they're going to feed the child tray for food? Because the parents can't take care of the child at home. So that's a tshuva and a chasam sefer about that. Is that considered l'sposa b'yadayim? I put the child in an institution. I'm not feeding him the non-kosher food, but when you sign him up for the institution, it's understood that they're going to be giving him non-kosher food. So that's one question. Is that called l'sposa b'yadayim? Second question is, maybe the din yisur l'sposa b'yadayim only applies to a katan who someday will become a bar chiyuva. Maybe it's an inyan of chinuch, even though he's a lot bar chinuch, even though the cotton is like gil chinuch. Maybe bar cheresh and shaita doesn't apply. So the Nadi Behuda had a son who wrote the very beautiful tshuva. Thank you. It's called Shibas Tzion. Now they want to get more people, the printers want to get more people to buy the tshuva Shibas Tzion. So they call it Nadi Behuda Chela Gimel. They sell it together with the first two volumes. So if you want to buy the Nadi Behuda, you got to buy the third volume also. I have the old edition before they got that gimmick, so separate. I had to pay separately for the Nadi Yehuda, separately for the Shiva Sin. So the Shiva Sin has a tshuva. He thinks that it only applies to the cotton, doesn't apply to the cheresh and the shaita. So the Chassam Sefer has a tshuva where he pulls out a needle from a haystack. Chassam Sefer quotes a Rashbo in Gittin, a long paragraph, 20-line paragraph, one little line in the middle. But that wasn't relevant for the rest of the 20 lines. The Rashba says that also the supposed to be a dime even applies to a cheresh and a shaitan. So the Chassam Sofer writes, if the Rashba was a Rishon and he says like that, and the Shiva still disagrees, he thinks we should follow the Rashba. Anyway, that's an issue. Unfortunately, a lot of people have that issue. The Jewish community didn't do enough in this area. There are so many Jewish children retarded and shaitan and so on. We should really arrange for a Jewish home for these children. Along the lines of this din of also is supposed to be Adam, you're not permitted to be metame a kohen katan, even though he's lo yigel achinuch. So the Rokeach was one of the later Bali HaTaisus. The Sefer, the Rokeach, reads a little bit like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch sometimes, but it throws in a lot of Kabbalah here and there. Rekech wrote a few svarim. Some of them are all Kabbalah. Some of them are like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, like the Sefer Truma. It's like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he has every so often halacha that's surprising. So the Rekeach is quoted by the Shach in the end of Yeridea, the Simonim, the three or four Simonim about Tumas Kohanim. So the Shach quotes the Rekeach that Eshes Kohen Mu'uberes, if a Kohen's wife is pregnant with a baby. In those days, they didn't know whether the baby is a boy or a girl. So it's a suffix, maybe it's a boy, and if it's a girl, so Kohenes is permitted to be metalames. B'nei Aharon v'lo b'nos Aharon. The din of Tumas Kohanim, the Issa Tumas Kohanim only applies to Zichri Kohuna. Doesn't apply to the females. But, so you don't know whether the Eshes Kohen is pregnant with a boy or a girl. May turn out to be a boy, and she'll attend the funeral. Should be a violation of being metame a kohen. So the rekech is mekel because of a sfek sveke. 50-50 something, maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl. And even if it turns out that it's a boy, it may turn out later that it'll be a nephil. Right now, she feels movement. Right now, there's a heartbeat or whatever. Right now, it's a lot. But it may turn out to be a nephil. it may be a stillborn later, so then it'll be a gloy milson amarfer that was never considered a kohen, and she didn't violate the so that's the svek sveke of the rokech. It's based on this idea, appears in Gemara, the end of Yevamos, but for a different topic. Different topic is, let's say, a woman is married and the husband dies and she has no children. So she needs chalitza. But her husband doesn't have any brothers. But the last time she saw her mother-in-law, the mother-in-law was pregnant. And then they went to Medina Sayyam. So they have no internet, they have no email, they have no telephone. So she doesn't know whether the mother-in-law had a baby boy or baby girl. So the Gemara says, 50-50. Maybe the mother-in-law had a baby girl, so there's no issue of chalitza. And even if she had a baby, and even if it turns out that it was a baby boy, maybe it was an eifel. So the Gemara has this. So the Rekeach took that svek svek from the Gemara and he applied it to the Tumas Kohanim. So the Mogen Avraham, in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a siman about not having ketanim do malacha for the parents. That's a pasuk in Aseres Hadibra. So a lot of people do it all the time. Whenever they want the light to go on or off, they pick up the baby and they pick the baby up next to the light and the baby turns on the light. So the Mishkan Sankev has a tshuva. He said that's Anisa Deraisa based on the Aseres Hadibra. So it's Al-Sasko Melacha Ato Bincha Vitecho. So Rashi says, Al-Chumash, who is Bincha Vitecho? If they're after Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, so they're included in Ato. Ata doesn't only apply to the people present at Maimon HaSinai. All of us who are passed Bar Mitzvah are included in Ata. So who is Bincha B'Techo? Bincha B'Techo means before Bar Mitzvah. Before Bar Mitzvah, they're not Bnei Chayuva. It means the parents are not permitted to encourage their children to do a malacha for them. That's an Isa Deraisa on Aseres Hadibra. In Europe, it was very common. Also by the Chassidim and by the Misnagdim. So the Mishkan Tzianka was a big Misnagdim. He was the rabbi in Karlin. Abyankala Kalina. He was a rabbi in Kalin with the stolen Kalina Hasidim. So he has several tshuvas in the Sefer. Quite a few tshuvas are to attack the Hasidim on some of their practices. So this one is also an attack. So the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos on that siman asks a question on the Rekeach. What is the issue? The Halacha said there's a Mishnah in the fourth perek in Chulin. Third perek in Chulin is about Eilu Treifas. The fourth perek is Behem Hamkasha, about the Ben Pekua. So the Mishnah has a din that Tahara Blua is not Mekabel Tumah. Tahara Blua means like this: a person swallowed a ring and it's in his stomach, then it's going to come out the other end. In a couple of days it'll come out. So, and he goes to a funeral. So the person becomes Tumah, but the ring does not become Tumah, because it's balua inside the stomach. Then the Gemara says also, let's say a woman is pregnant and she has a fetus inside and she went to a funeral. So the woman becomes tmeah, but the baby inside, the baby is not in the belly, the baby is in the rechem, in the womb, but that's called balua. Balua is there's a din of chatzitza. When a person is toivon in the mikveh, he shouldn't have any chatzitzas. So there's a din of chatzitza even in the base hastorim, let's say in the mouth. The Gemara Kiddushin, the first parak says, that a woman was toivel, shechasu shel Rebbe, was toivel in a mikveh, and then it turns out later on she had a bone stuck in between her teeth. It was a miut hamakbid, so she had to be toivel again a second time. So even though there's a din of chatzitza by beis hastorim, even though beis hastorim does need bias mayim, you don't have to open your mouth when you're toivel in a mikveh, but chatzitza in between the teeth and the mouth passels the tefillah. Many Achrayim came up with the idea it's only with the Rabbanim, like the Ritvah. Others hold simple reading in Tosfos that is a din deraisa, chatzitz and the beis hastorim. So Rabbi Kivege writes on Yerideya that din of chatzitz and beis hastorim doesn't apply to balua. Let's say there's something not in the mouth. Let's say inside the nostril on the bottom is beis hastorim. So if there's dirt crusted on, that'll be a chatzitz. But if it's higher up in the nostril, there's a blockage in the nostril, he has a stuffed nose. So higher up, that's called balua, and balua, there's no din of chatzitza. Balua is considered kemisha eina. So the Magen Avraham asked the kasha on the rakech, what's the whole issue? The fetus, the eshes kohen who's pregnant, the baby is balua. So the baby is not mekabel tumah. So what's the whole issue of tumas kohanim? Why did the rakech have to be matir? Eshes kohen were embarrassed to go to this funeral, based on the Svek Sveka. He took the Svek Sveka from the Gemara at the end of Yevamos about the Svek Sveka. The mother-in-law is pregnant, and she doesn't know if she had a baby or not. The daughter-in-law doesn't know if she had a baby. What do you need a Svek Sveka? Why don't you just say the kohen doesn't become tummy? So there used to be a dayan in London 50 years ago, dayan Grosnas, who wrote a very beautiful tshuva. So he quotes very interesting phenomenon. Rabbi Chana Rasman and Rabbi Chaim Eiser both give the same answer. Neither quotes that the other one said it. And they were brothers-in-law. They were married to two sisters. Rabbi Chaim Eiser's first wife died the day of the bris of their baby. They had a baby boy and they had a bris. The day of the bris, the mother died. That's how Rabbi Chaim Eiser was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Yitzchak Kosofsky. He was later a rabbi in South Africa, in Johannesburg. And Rabbi Shulman, who's a Rebbe here in Yeshiva, very prominent Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Shulman is a great-grandson of that Rabbi Kosofsky from South Africa. He has a lot of traditions. He used to correspond with Rabbi Chaim Eiser a lot in Shubas. Many of the Shubas Rabbi Chaim Eiser were written to him. So that was the first marriage of Rabbi Chaim Eiser. After that wife died, then he married the daughter of the rabbi in Shavel, Rabbi Meir Atlas, and the sister of his wife was married to Rabbi Chana Basman. They both married the two daughters of Rabbi Meir Atlas and the city Shavel. City Shavel, I remember when we were touring in Poland, city Shavel is a pretty big city. We were going by bus. We didn't stop there, but it took a half an hour to go from one end of the city to, we were just going through the city, to go somewhere else. It took a half an hour. Other cities, it takes 5 minutes, and you go through the whole city. Rodin, I think, was a very tiny city. There were no cars at all in Rodin. Ours was the only automobile. Yes, but horses. And the whole city was a two by nothing. But Shavel was a big city. Then remember, the airport was in Reisha. Reisha was, the airport was a tiny little airport, but there was an airport there. So Rabbi Chaim Eiser and Rabbi Hanav Asma both give the same suggestion. They give pshat in the Rakeach. What do they have to come on to the Svek Svek? Why don't just say Tar Blue is not Mekabel Tuma? So they both suggest that maybe the Rakech thinks, even though the Chumash reads, the Nefesh Lei Tama Bi'amav, the Kohanim should not become Tomei to a mace, maybe the Rakech holds that that's not the Yisr. Maybe he holds the Yisr is not to come in contact with a mace, even in a fashion that it's not Metameyu. Maybe it's not an Yisr to be Metameyu. Maybe it's an Yisr not to come in contact with a mace. That is interesting. Maybe the two Isurim, maybe they're both. Maybe it's an Isur not to become Tomei, and also an Isur not to come in contact. In Mishnais and Aholus, there's a din, the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Rav Kachava has a whole wild pshat, but the Posh pshat in the Mishnah says that Eifa Hasrufim is not Betamei. A dead body, a mace is Betamei. What if they cremated a body? The Nazis cremated a lot of bodies. And the ashes are still there. So the question is the Kohen prohibited from coming in contact with the ashes of a Jewish body that were cremated? The Mishnah says it's not metame. So in Yerideya, on the bottom of the page in Yerideya, in the Pischei Tshuva, they quote Rabbi Yaakov Emden. We don't always follow Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He wasn't the greatest of all of the poskim. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that the Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the Eifer HaSruf. It's a Beferish Mishnah, that's not Metameh. So maybe he forgot the Mishnah. In Imtem Tzilemer, they have a lot of things in Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Tshuvas that are against often in Mishnais. But I feel in Tim Tzilemer that he remembered the Mishnah. Maybe he thinks like this, that it's an Issa to come in contact with the Meis, even if it's not Metameh you. The others hold, even if the other poskim say, even if he, Rabbi Chaim Eiser writes, even if you say like that, that there's an issur not to come in contact with a mace, why is the cremated ashes, why are they not metame? Because it's not a mace. So it's not a mace, so there's no issur to come in contact with it either. Even if you hold, there's not an issur to be metame, the issur is not to come in contact with a mace. But Eifer HaSrufman is not called a mace. But that's a fascinating thing, that there's an issa not to come in contact with a mace, even in a way that it's not metame. So remember, I asked this to the Dayan Grosnas after I read his tshuva, that what if a kohen is married and his wife is pregnant, and then after a couple of months She felt movement. Then she doesn't feel anymore. When she goes to the doctor says the baby is not alive anymore. So does the kohen have to run out of the house? Because he's in the same house. Tuma blua is not betami either. Tar blua is not mekabel tuma, and tuma blua is not betami. So let's say the Mishnah says a woman is pregnant, and the baby, we ascertain the baby died, and people are in the same room, in the same house with the woman. So the Mishnah says that the tuma blua is not betami the other people. Blua is considered kemisha'ena. So yes, dying gross. Now, so what if the kohen's wife is pregnant, and then she realizes that the fetus died? So the husband can't stay in the same room with his wife. So he thought that that's not a problem. He thought that since there's a difference between Beis HaStorm and Balua, Beis HaStorm, there's no Tumas Maga, but there is Tumas Masa. That's a Gemara. Whatever is Balua, there's no Maga, there's no Masa, there's no Ochel, there's nothing. Tuma Balua Rashi is Kemisha Eino. So he thought that since it's Kemisha Eino, so it's Kemisha Eino, it's considered as if the Kohen is not together, he's not in contact with the mace. Could be. Okay, that was his reaction at the time. Yeah, the pasuk says that the kohen and kohanim are not allowed to be metamei lemeisim, unless it's one of the seven relatives. Achos apsula lo yitamo. How do you translate lo yitamo? So that's a machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, in Soita Dav Gimel. We mentioned that every so often. Rabbi Shmuel says lo yitamo is a reshus. If the kohen wants to, he's permitted to attend a funeral, but he's not obligated to. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, lo yitam is a chayva. And apparently this machlokes didn't begin with Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. It existed bizman Abayis. So the Gemara in Zvochim around Dav Kufa so quotes that bizman Abayis, there was this dispute. One of the kohanim lost his wife and he didn't want to attend a funeral. Because they held like Rabbi Akiva's shita. Before Rabbi Kiva was born, they held like Rabbi Kiva Shita, Lo Yitam is a Chayva. What's it doing? Hasaita Dav Gimel Aman Aleph, because it's a Machlekes on three Psukim. One Pasuk is Lo Yitam, the other Pasuk is Lo Alam Em Tavoidu, that Rabbi Shmuel learns. If you want to, you can keep the Evet Kanani forever. You don't have to set him free after 6 years. You don't have to set him free when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yoivel. That's only Evet Ivri, Evet Kanani. If you want to, you can keep him forever. But if you want to, if you want to free him, you can free him. It's a reshus. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. Yolamem Tavoidu is a chayva, you know. HaMashachar Abdo Oiva Be'esei. You're not permitted to be Mashachar and Evet Kanani. The third pasuk is the pasuk by Saita that it says, "Va'avar alav ruach kina, the kina yesishtoi." So Rabbi Shmuel says it's a rishus. He's looking for trouble. The husband's looking for trouble. He confronts his wife and he says he's choshed the wife that she's having an affair with somebody, and he forbids her. He warns her, "Altistri mishplani." He's not the balabas, but if he warns her and he says, "Altistri mishplani," and then after the kino, the kino is the hasra, he warns about history, mishplani, I'm choshed, you biznos. She doesn't listen to him. She said, you're crazy, you're paranoid. Remember there was a boy who was married, I may have spoken about it once, the boy who lived in the neighborhood, and then he married the boy was a Sephardi, he was 40 years old, and he married a girl who was 18, an Ashkenazi girl. Why the girl agreed to marry a guy 40 years old? She was so gung-ho at marrying a Talmid Chacham, she decided she's going to be like Eishes Rabbi Akiva. She's going to get a husband to learn. He was an Amoritz Gomer. She's going to get this Sephardi husband to learn, and he's going to become like Rabbi Akiva. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out to be like Rabbi Akiva. And then the husband was choshed his wife that she's having an affair with someone else. Why? Because he found a jacket in the closet. So she said, I don't know whose jacket it is. It was his apartment before they got married. It was one of his friends. Left his jacket there by mistake. The girl was a wonderful tzaddikus. So the girl suffered from the husband a lot. He didn't allow her to walk out in the street because it was choshed a business. Mamish paranoid. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. So long story. And I remember when Rabbi Lipschitz, we were away in the summertime in Eretz Yisrael when we came back. So we went to visit Rabbi Lipschitz, tell him that we met his chaverim in Eretz Yisrael, in the Meiri Yeshiva. So he told us about this boy, and he said, it's my wife's obligation, our obligation, because the boy lived on our side of the heights. He lived on Bennett Avenue, That's our allegation. We should convince the wife that she should run away from her husband. So my wife would go every single day to convince the wife. The wife was a tzaddikah. She didn't want to run away. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. So she ran away. Finally, the husband gave a gift after a long time. So Rabbi Lifshitz said he has the Kabbalah tradition from his father-in-law. It was a rav in Suwalk. After the father-in-law passed away, he took over the rabbanus in Suwalk in Europe. So he said he has the tradition from his father-in-law. Sometimes you have to drink l'chaim when you do a get. He said we have to drink l'chaim that they finally got the one. Anyway, the girl remarried, and then the husband was about to graduate college. His parents lived out of town, and he went home for Pesach, and he never came back again. He disappeared, never finished college. Very sad story. So it could well be that the kinyas ishta could be the husband just paranoid. So the wife doesn't want to listen to the husband. She said, you're crazy. Let's say the husband is choshed his wife that she's having an affair with her father. And she says, you're crazy. And he says, I forbid you to be alone with your father. She said, I'm not going to listen to you. You're crazy. So she stays with the father in the same house. So it's her father. So then she becomes Asur al-Baila, even though she didn't do anything. He's crazy. Kinu yastir. So that's a machlokes of Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel on that pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel says the kinyas ishta is a rishus. If he wants to, he can. We don't recommend it. We don't mechayev him. Rabbi Kiva says no. Kinyas ishta is a chayva. If he really is suspicious that he thinks the wife is having an affair with someone else, he's mechayev to warn the wife. Al tistri mishplein. Those are the three psukim that they have the machlokes. So this pasuk is lo yitama. It's a chiyuv. What's the nature of the chiyuv? The chiyuv is kavod abrius. This is the mitzvah of kavod abrius. Even by dead people, by living people, many people misunderstand. They think that the Jewish religion revolves about death. By non-observant Jews, it revolves about death. All they know is Shiva, Kaddish, and Yisker, and Yahrzeit. That's all. They only come to shul when you say Yisker, and when they say Yahrzeit. And everything else, they don't observe any mitzvah. So that's a secular Jew's version of the Jewish religion. But as far as the religious Jews are concerned, we don't deal with the dead so much at all. There's even a din of kavod abrius on the dead. There's more of a din of kavod abrius on chayim. The Gemara in Ksubis talks about a situation where there's a group of people going along with the chasen kala. They're celebrating their marriage, and they're going to have a party, a shevet bracha somewhere. And then there's a funeral procession going to bury a mace. And they come to a crossroads. They're coming from one road and they're coming from another road. And there's no red light, green light. So how do you decide who has that, who takes precedence? So the Gemara says that the chas and kala take precedence over the mace. So the Shittim Kobetz says why? Because in Kavod Abrius, Kavod Achaim always takes precedence over Kavod HaMeisim. More of a chiyuv to have Kavod Abrius by the Chaim, even by the Meisim. By the Jewish mason, by a non-Jew who dies, there's no mitzvah kfura at all. But by a Jew who dies, there's a din even lachamisa. Why is that? So it could well be, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, I must have said this already, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, the Gemara in Megillah has a brisa that all religious articles are divided into two categories. There's tashmisha mitzvah and tashmisha kedusha. So let's say you have an old talis that's worn out, and I bought a new talis. I'm not going to use the old talis. I want to donate it to the shul. The gabbai in the shul doesn't want it. It's old and worn out and gray. It looks awful. So he doesn't want it. And the poor man down the block doesn't want it. Nobody wants it. So what do you do with the old talis? Mostly you throw it out in the garbage. Tashmishi mitzvah and nizrokim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashba, b'shem the Raibet, I think that it's not nice to throw it in the same garbage with the dirty diapers, with the fish bones. So you put it in a separate garbage bag, and then you throw it in the garbage. But if you have an old tefillin and mezuzah, old ritzuas, old tefillin zekel, or the cardboard boxes, that's tashmisha kedusha. So tashmisha kedusha, even though it's broken and torn and puzzled and can't use anymore, tashmisha kedusha on ignosim, you have to put it in the shemus. So how do you decide, how do you determine what tashmisha kedusha, what tashmisha mitzvah? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim, the tashmisha kedusha means if you have psukim written, to the extent that you have the Torah written, to that extent it has kedusha. So that's what we say, that tefillin have more kedusha than mezuzah, because mezuzah only has two parshias, and tefillin have an addition to shema v'yam shema, has kadesh v'yor kiv'yachah. Shorosh has slightly more kedusha than shoyah, because it has two more shins. and the Sefer Torah has more kedusha than the tefillin because it has the dalet parshas plus much more. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Rambam writes towards the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah, the Rambam sounds like he implies very, very strongly that if we'll find the original set of the luchas, the set of the luchas engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu Psolocha, he made the luchas Avonim, the Rabbeinu Shalom engraved the Bechtava HaLuchas, and we have a Sefer Torah that's written by a boss of Adam, it's not Tav Shin Pei Beis. Sefer Torah has more kedusha than the luchas. Why? Because the Rambam says has the Aseres Adiros plus more. To the extent that you have psukim written, to that extent it has kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole talk about this topic. So he said Eretz Yisrael has kedusha. Why? You have psukim written on the trees, engraved on the trees in Eretz Yisrael. He said that what was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the first time around? So he said the kibush. Kibush. You need a kibush for chiluk. It took 7 years to do the kibush. That says in Sefer Yeshua that it took 7 years to do the chalukah. Chalukah l'shvatim and the chalukah l'mishpachas and the chalukah l'yechidim. The Gemara said that's a tradition. The Gemara in the end of Erechim. So it took 14 years. And year number 15 was the first year for counting Shemitah v'Yovel. First Shemitah was observed year 21. First Yovel was observed year 64. The first 14 years, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha. So what was the Mekadosh Kibush? And the Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush. So how were they Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael? Who is Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael? Rav Soloveitchik used to be a very good public speaker. So he said, who was, he screamed out in Yiddish, who was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael? The Kibush. Who did the Kibush? Everybody said, the army of Yeshua Benoit. He says, no, what the army? It says, Oren Abris, Noseh Lifnehem. Oren Abris knocked down all the enemies. The Oren Abris, had the Luchas. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was the Torah Shebichsav. But then we passed in Kedusha Rishonim was Batla. So what was the Mekadosh the second time around? The Rambam says Chazaka. We're not sure what Chazaka means. Rav Soloveitchik, every couple of years he would give a different suggestion. It's very unclear. What was the Mekadosh the second time around? Chazaka, what does it mean Chazaka? On one occasion he had a suggestion that the Nes Purim was when the Jewish people accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Medrash Tanchuma writes on Parshas Noach, a long essay that... Bnei Yisrael said Nasa Benishma. So why did Rabban Shalom have to do Kof Aleim Har Kegigas? Tosfos says that Kasha and Shabbos on Daf Pei Zayin. So on the side of the Gemara, they say, look in the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma poses that question. Why was there a need for Kof Aleim Har Kegigas? Bnei Yisrael said Nasa Benishma. So the Medrash Tanchuma answers, they said Nasa Benishma when Moshe Rabbeinu told them what's in store in the Torah Shebichsav. Then he says, but there's more. There's Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a Mishnah Berurah. There's a Chazanish. And there's a Darkei Tshuva. There's Pischit Tshuva and all these Svarim. So that they said, that's too much, we don't want that. So that was Kof Aleim Har Kegigas on the Torah Shebaal Peh. That they never accepted Beratzen. Adi Kiblu B'me'ach HaShveirish. After the next Purim, they accepted Torah Shebaal Peh Beratzen. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested in the history books, they say that the next Purim occurred right before the completion of the Binyan Bayisheni. Towards the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel. It was a year or two before the end of the Golus Bavel. Then the second Beis HaMikdash was paid for by Artaxasto, that's the opening chapter in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. And Rashi says that at the beginning of Nehemiah, that this king, Artaxasto, was the son of Achashverosh, and he was the son of Esther Amalka. He was Jewish. His mother was Jewish. He was the one who gave all the money to Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the butler, and he's about to serve breakfast to the king in bed. That's how Sefer Nehemiah begins. And then Artaxasta paid for everything. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe the Mekadosh of the Eretz Yisrael the first time around was the Oren Abris that did the Kibush, that's Torah Shebichsav. So Torah Shebichsav, he didn't fully explain this part is mine. So I thought that Torah Shebichsav is a tangible object. Here's a Chumash, Torah Shebichsav is tangible. It's an item that lends itself to destruction. So therefore the Kedusha lends itself to Churban. So at the time of Churban HaMedina, when the Babylonian armies took away Eretz Yisrael from the Jewish people, they undid the Kibush, so that undid the whole Kedusha. But the Torah Shebaal Peh belongs to the world of ideas. You can't destroy an idea. The Gemara says, when they were killing Rabbi Akiva, either Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hanania, Hanina ben Tranyan. So the Gemara says that he was looking around. So the Talmidim asked him, "What are you looking at?" They didn't see anything. So he said he sees Gevilin Nisrafin. They burnt them alive. I think that was Rabbi Hanina ben Tranyan. They burnt them alive. They wrapped them up in the Sefer. He was teaching Barabim, teaching Torah Barabim. So they wrapped them up in the Sefer Torah and they burnt them alive. So he said he sees Gevilin Nisrafin. He sees the parchment is burnt. Osius Parchas Bavir. That the Goyim are not succeeding in destroying the letters, the words of the words are flying back to heaven. So what does that mean? So the Pashtus is that it means not the Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav, you burn it, so it's gone. It means he was had a chumash, he had a sefer Torah, and he was giving over the rushes of the Torah Shebalpeh. The Torah Shebalpeh belongs to the world of ideas, so that you can't destroy. That's Rav Soloveitchik said. You have to. He pointed out. There's a din in Yerideya from the Gemara, the end of Moed Katan, as all the dinim of Avelus and the dinim of Ripping Kriya. The Gemara says, if you see that the Goyim, if you see that it happens to be a Jew, one of the Malchi Yisrael burnt the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, Haroi Sefer Torah Shanisraf, if one is witnessing someone burning a Sefer Torah, has to rip two Kriyas. Why? One, on the fact that the parchment, achas alakvil, vachas alaksav. You have to rip kriya twice, once because the letters are being destroyed, and once because the parchment is being destroyed. So is there a contradiction between the two Gemaras? The other Gemara says, he sees gvil and disrof and vasyas parchas ba'avir, that they're not being destroyed. This Gemara says you have to rip twice kriya on the osyas, that one on the ksav and one on the gvil. It's a din in Yeridea. So it could be that that's the answer. It could be that Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyim, when he saw Yosef's Parchas Baba, not the Yosef said the Sefer Torah. The Yosef said the Torah, that's a tangible object. He burned it, it gets destroyed. He was giving Shiurim up. He was saying over all the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is not a tangible object. It belongs to the world of ideas. So that doesn't lend itself to destruction. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, maybe Kedusha Sa'aretz is also based on psukim. What psukim? The Mekadosh the first time around was the kibush that was accomplished with the luchas in the Aron HaBris. Maybe the Mekadosh the second time around was the fact that the Jewish people accepted the Torah Shebal Peh on the occasion of Nes Purim right before there were Mekadosh Eretz Yosef. Maybe with the koyach of Kabbalah's Torah Shebal Peh, maybe that was the Mekadosh, maybe that's the reason why the Kedusha Shniyah was like Batla. So then Rav Soloveitchik said, but there's such a thing as Kedusha Yisrael, where we have psukim written on us. So Rav Soloveitchik said, yeah. He said that every darshan has his favorite agaditas, that they tickle his fancy. And he has his favorite agaditas. So one of his favorite is the first page in the Tanya. He was brought up in a Lubavitcher village. A lot of his ideas and hashkafe come from Lubavitch. He used to quote a lot from the Lubavitch, from the first Alter Rebbe. So from the Tanya, he used to quote from the Tanya. So the first page, the Tanya quotes the Gemara, Sof Per Gimel Nido, that the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula before he's born. So he used to speak a lot. That was one of his favorite agaritas. So he said, maybe because the Malach teaches the baby Kol HaTorah Kula, that's why every Jewish child has a Kedushas Yisrael. Not only is he Tashmishi Mitzvah, Tashmishi Kedusha. Anachri, while he's alive, you have to give him respect. He has to tell the Malachim. And if he observes the Sheva Mitzvahs, fine, says it Tashmishi Mitzvah. After he dies, he no longer has to tell the Malachim. And he's no longer doing any Mitzvah. So it's like Tashmishi Mitzvah, that on Nizrakim, there's no Mitzvah to bury him. But a Jewish person, before he was born, the Malach teaches every Jewish baby, the boys and the girls, the Malach teaches Kol HaTorah Kula. Even though then the Gemara said the Malach slaps the baby, he makes him forget, but it's still going to be Rishon HaNiker. The Kedusha Yisrael comes from the fact that the Malach taught him Kol HaTorah Kula. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion. Maybe the source of all Kedusha is from the fact that you have Divrei Torah. The Pasuk says in Yeshua, when they hung up the Laban Aleph Melochim, they hung them up on trees, then they took them down before Shkia, And it says in Yeshua to fulfill the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, L'sol in the Vlas Halayis, Kavetik Vareinu Bayamahu. So that the Ramban HaChumash asks, Kavetik Vareinu Bayamahu is only by Jewish Mason, by Mesa Yachim. There is no mitzvah. What does it say in Sefer Yeshua? That they took down the Lamed Aleph Malach and they were all non-Jewish. They took them down to fulfill the Pasuk in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu. That's only by Jewish Mason, by Haruge Bezna it goes. So the Ramban HaChumash says that the Pasuk says there, So he said, the Ramban writes, says, you're not allowed to leave Mesim in Eretz Yisrael, leave Mesay Yakim, because you're Metame Eretz Yisrael. That's why. But Mesay Yakim and Chutz Lord, there is no mitzvah to bury. Only Mesay Yakim in Eretz Yisrael, because Losetame is Admoscha. But that's not a problem. Rabbi Chalap's father, Zichron Lebrach, was a big Talmid Chacham. So he wrote a lot of Torah. Rabbi Chalap published, reprinted a lot of his father's Divrei Torah that were printed years ago. So he points out that this is a problem. In Eretz Yisrael, they have medical schools. The medical schools have cadavers where the medical students work on the cadavers. Years ago, the cadavers used to be all Arab cadavers, terrorists. Every time the Tzahal killed a terrorist, so they had more than enough cadavers for all the medical schools. Now the Knesset prohibited using Arab cadavers. You could only use Jewish cadavers. But even years ago, that's a problem. Even an Arab cadaver, you're not allowed to leave it over in Eretz Yisrael. So how can you have a medical school in Eretz Yisrael? Now, in a lot of medical schools all over the world, they're starting now that you don't have to take anatomy, you don't have to use a cadaver, you can do it online. I don't think it's as good. I don't know. If you're handling with the body itself, you get to feel, you get a better feel. You're just on the internet, so it's all an imagination. Whatever. Anyway. So Jewish mace is like a Tashmishi Kedusha. Tashmishi Kedusha nignos him, even after he's no longer able to do any mitzvahs, but he had Divrei Torah, the mouth taught him, Kol HaTorah Kula. So Jewish body is Tashmishi Kedusha. But Meisei Akum is a Tashmishi Mitzvah, the maximum it can be is a Tashmishi Mitzvah. So after the person dies, there's no longer any Chiyuv of Kavod. Yeah, so this Pasuk, Lo Yitame, is the din of Kavod Abrius. The Rambam and follows the Rif, who follows the Goyim, Olachach Misvar, the Machaber Paskin is like this with Svardim, that Avelus Yom Rishon is the Raisa. There's a din of Shiva Shloshim Yud Beis Chodesh Avelus. So Shiva Shloshim Yud Beis Chodesh Omid the Rabbanah. But Avelus Yom Rishon, the Machaber Paskin is like the Rif and the Rambam and the Chach Misvar, that Avelus Yom Rishon is the Raisa. So where is there a Pasuk in Chumash that you have to show Kavod HaMeisim? So the Rambam says in the Sefer Mitzvah, this is the Pasuk, Lo Yitama. That's the Pasuk to show, even to show Kavod HaMeisim. Kavod HaMeisim, Kavod HaMeisim. You have to even show Kavod HaMeisim. This is the Mokker for the Din of Kavod Abiyas, and that's Avelus, the tradition has it. Avelus Yom Rishon, according to that sheet, is the Raisa. The Ramah Paskins for Ashkenazim, that even Avelus Yom Rishon is only the Rabbanan. But those who hold that as the Raisa, based on this Pasuk, Kavod Abriyah says sometimes Doicha Yisurim. The Gemara says Kavod Abriyah is only Doicha Yisurim Derabbanan. It's never Doicha Anissa Deraisa. So Rashi asks the Kasha, if the Gemara says Kavod Abriyah is only Doicha Derabbanan, not Doicha Deraisa, so how come over here the Kavod Abriyah is Doicha the Yisur of Lenefesh Leitama? Is Doicha Anissa Deraisa? So Rashi answers, I'm Brachas. Rashi answers that it's not Dhuya, it's Hutra. Hutra means Belachatchila when the prohibition was formulated. The next Pasuk. When the prohibition of Tumas Mason was formulated, it was told Lachatchila that this is an exception to the rule of Sutra. Never included in the Yisur at all. And the Rambam makes a point of that. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says that it's Sutra. The Rambam says that it's Tuchuyat. Tosfos also disagrees with Rashi. And the Rambam makes a point of it. And he says, Shaila Halacha Lamaisa, let's say the Kohen wants to attend the funeral of a relative of his, but they have another mace in the funeral home. So is the Kohen allowed to go in? So the Rambam doesn't spell it out, but it sounds like he says, if Tumas mace by the Zayin Kerovim would have been Hutra, like Rashi says, then it would have been permissible for the Kohen to go into the funeral home if his relative is there, even though there's another mace. If the Hutra would have been Mutra. But because his opinion is not like Rashi, he always like Tosfos, that is Dechuya, so it's only Dechuya if it's only one Issa. If there's another Mesa, then he's not allowed to go in. Lo Yitame Bal Biyamav Lehechalo. Rashi quotes a whole fantastic comment from the Torah's Kohanim. What if a Kohen is married to a Grusha? So usually when one of the seven relatives is the wife, Kim L'Shera Kolev, Shera Zawishtoi, the Kohen is Mentamit to his wife. What if his wife is forbidden to have married her husband? He's a Kohen and she's a Grusha. So is the Kohen permitted to be Mentamit? So the Pasuk says, Leitame Bal Biyamav Lehechalo, he should not be Mentamit to his wife if she's Mechalal him. Because the Mishnah says in Bechoris that if a Kohen is married to a Grusha, Chalala Zaina, the Isser, so we don't allow him, he's temporarily treated like a Cholol. We don't allow him to be Makar Kabbanis on the Beis HaMikdash till he divorces the wife, until he takes a Shvuah, that he's never going to marry again, Grusha, Zaina, Chalala. So the Pashtus and the Mishnah, that's only a penalty with the Rabbanim. That a Kohen is also Nashim Ba'averi, he's not allowed, he's considered temporarily a Cholol. It's only a dinder abon, it's not a dinner. If it would have been a dinder aisa, that makes sense. If he takes a shvua, then he's not going to live with her, he's going to divorce her. Why should it be mutter for him? He's still married to her. So the simple reading of Mishnah, it's only the rabbana. The Ravid has the regular Ravid, our Ravid from the Rambam. The Ravid has a commentary on the Torah's Kohanim, where he understands that that din is a dinder aisa, a big chiddush. And that din, a temporary psul of chalolos, is a dinder aisa. The Beis Yosef quotes a machlokes from the days of the Goyim, before the days of the Rishonim. That din, that a Kohen who marries Noshim Ba'aveira is not allowed to be makar karbonos at Beis HaMikdash, what about duchening, and what about getting the first aliyah? What about other mitzvahs of kuhuna? So it's a machlokes, and the roiv of the poskim hold that it's only a penalty with the rabbanon, you don't allow him to be makar karbonos at the Beis HaMikdash, but you would let him duchen, and you would allow him to get the first aliyah. Mechaber Paskin is like the minority opinion that the penalty even applies to duchening, even applies to getting the first aliyah. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, he's surprised. And the Bir Halacha writes, he's surprised. Why did the Mechaber Paskin like the minority opinion? If you look in the Beis Yosef, to the sources, it would appear that the majority of the Paskin held that it's a penalty with the Rabban that was only instituted vis-a-vis Akrobus Karbonat. Surprised, but that's the common practice. That we have the penalty if a Kohen is married to a Gioris or married to a Grusha, whatever. We don't allow him to do any of the mitzvahs of Kohuna. Then the Pasuk says regarding the Kohanim, V'ki dashto ki eslechem alokecha hu makriv. What does it mean, V'ki dashto? So the Gemara in Yevamah says, V'ki dashto bal korchoi. If the Kohen marries a Grusha, and we tell him you're not allowed to. He says, mind your own business. So we have to beat him up. We have to force him. Dafenu, we push him. We pressure him till he divorces his wife and he separates from her. Kidashta bal korchoi. The Gemara has another comment in a different place in Gittin. Mishnah says in Gittin, Mishnah has Perek HaSholech, is the fourth Perek. So Perek HaSholech, Mishnah has Takonis de Rabbanim, Netikan Olam, that they made in Hilchas Gittin. What names you put in. A guy has two different names in two different cities. So if you're only going to write the name that he's known with in his village, but his wife, he's going to give his wife a get, she's going to move back to her parents, they live in a different village. In the other village, they call him by a different name. So the wife is going to be walking around with the get. They're going to say, that's not her husband. The one who gave her the get, that's a different name. His name is Velvel. His name is not Zev. They may not realize Velvel, the same thing as Zev. In this city, they call him with the Yiddish name. The other city said, made a takana. You should put all the names in the get. Neitikar Olam. Other few takanas in Gittin. Neitikar Olam. Then the Mishnah has more takanas. All the takanas. Prusbo. A whole bunch of takanas, but Neitikar Olam. So one of the takanas says that the Kohen gets the first aliyah. Neitikar Olam. Mora says, Neitikar Olam. They're Raisuhu. It says, Vikidashto. You have to be Mechabed the Kohen. He gets the first aliyah. So how did the Mishnah say that it's only Takana Rabban? Mar says, no, the Kiddashta gets the first aliyah. That's Taka right, that's their Isa. But in the Torah, he has the right to be moichel on his kavod. He says, correct, I'm a kohen, I'm entitled to get the first aliyah, but there's a bar mitzvah today, or there's a sheva chasim, so they have all the relatives are there, so give all the aliyahs to the relatives. He's moichel on his kavod. And with the Rabbanim, we don't permit him to be moichel on his kavod because it may cause friction. It may cause machlekes. How come last week he was moichel on his kavod for that family, and this week there's another simcha, and he's not moichel on his kavod for these people? He insists that he wants to get the first aliyah this week. So because it may cause friction, so that's why they made a takana de Rabbanim. Not that the institution of the kohen getting the first aliyah is b'day tikkun olam. The institution that they get the first aliyah, they must say that's their raisa. We don't permit it to be moichel on his kavod. That's their rabbanim. So there's a famous Tosfos in Chulin, Daf Pei Ches, I think, Pei Zayin, Pei Ches, where Tosfos tells a story that the Gabbai called up the Kohen to get the first Aliyah. There's only one Kohen in the shul. He called up the Kohen. And another guy ran up and he said, Baruch Asa Hashem Amvarach, not a Kohen. He grabs the first Aliyah and they didn't realize that he wasn't entitled to the Aliyah. And everybody said, Baruch Hashem Amvarach, Shem. So the din is that if I steal a mitzvah that someone else is entitled to, I have to pay a penalty of asara zehuvim. So Tosfos has a chiddush in this case. They give different reasons why. In this case, the fellow who stole the aliyah from the kohen doesn't have to pay him asara zehuvim. So one of the reasons that they give is that the whole din of the kiddushtoi, that he gets the first aliyah, the whole thing is only an asmachta. Either Gemara says the raisa, Gemara says it means that it's an asmachta in the chumash. But it's not a din deraisa. The kiddushta really means bal karchai. If he's married to a grusha zayin v'chalala, you pressure him, you force him to divorce her. And the kiddushta to be mechaber him, Tosfos says it's only a smachta in the rabbanim. So the Tosfos has a chiddush. That's chiddush number one. The Rambam writes not so. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes the kiddushta means to be mechaber the kohen. And he says, even if he's moichel on his kavod, we don't allow him to be moichel. We insist. They all ask. It's against the Gemara. Gemara said the Farish that the Menatari may be moichel on his kavod. It's only with the Rabbanim because it will cause friction. How come last week it was moichel? This week it's not moichel. So they give explanations of what. But the Rambam clearly disagrees with this. Tezalta v'kidashtoi. V'kidashtoi, given the first aliyah, is only with the Rabbanim. Then there's another Tosfos, but Tosfos says, v'kidashtoi, the pshuto shel mikra, only goes on a kohen gadol. You look in the Chumash, that's very problematic. We're talking about a kohen hedyot. Two psukim later, there's a psucha, a stuma, whatever. There's a stuma, and then two psukim later, it starts talking about the kohen gadol. So far, we're only talking about the kohen hedyot, we're not talking about the kohen gadol. That's a problematic. That Tosfos is a problematic Tosfos. Yeah, what's the din of the kohen gadol? He doesn't, he's not metame even to the zayin krayv. So the Gemara says that, the Gemara seems to say to Teresh that a kohen gadol does not observe avelus at all. When a relative dies, he doesn't observe avelus, and the Gemara gives the rationale why. Because kohen gadol kol hashana kula kisrael baregel dami. That's the Gemara at the very beginning. I think it's the first daf in Eila Megalchen. The third parak in Ma'id Katan has all the dinim of avelus and ripping kriyim. So the Gemara says, Kohen Gadol, all year long, Kisrael Baregel Dami. Just like Kisrael Baregel on Yomim Tovim, one does not observe Avelus. If someone is buried on Yontif, on Chalamar, you don't begin Shiva till after Yontif is over. So the Kohen Gadol, as long as he's Kohen Gadol, he's like Regel. Why is he like Regel? On Regel, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So mitzvah of Simchas Yontif and Avelus are tied to this Asri. So you can't observe birth. So it's a toss-up. Which one should you observe? So the Gemara says, "Asi esed derab medochi esed diyachad simchas haregel." All the klal yisols mechuyev in avelus is evil yachad asilah. It's a pasuk in other evil yachad asilah. Avelus, this family is mechuyev to observe avelus, but simchas haregel, the whole klal yisols mechuyev. So when you have esed derabim in conflict with an esed diyachad, esed derabim takes precedence. But what mitzvah says that the kohen gadol all year long has a mitzvah of simcha? Why does he have a mitzvah of simcha? Simcha is only beregel. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying, it's printed in one of his essays, that the mechayev of simcha is when the person is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk reads, "Smachtem lefnei Hashem alakech." One is lefnei Hashem. So on regal, there's a chiyuv on shalosh regalim to be oiler regal. The women taka not mechuyev. The regal calls a churcha. Only the men are mechuyev. But still, there's an idea. There's an idea that klal yisrael has to be oiler regal. He has to. You have to be in the presence of Hashem. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are also doich avelus. We assume that there is a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. So why is there a chiyuv simcha? No aliyah leregel. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah because it blows shofar came into the zikaron ka'asid ki a shofar comes to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Am Yisrael came into the zikaron ka'asid ki lifnim dami. It's considered as if everyone in the world is blowing shofar, even in New Jersey, even in Florida, as if they're in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So that's Lifnei Hashem. What's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, you're not blowing shofar. So why is Achiv Simcha Yom Kippur? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Rambam has in the Shmoyda Prokim, the Rambam has 8 short chapters he wrote as an introduction to his Pirush HaMishnayos on Pirkei Avos. We don't have a better name, so we call it the Shmoyda Prokim La Rambam, the 8 introductory chapters to the Pirush on Pirkei Avos. So one of the chapters he writes about mechitzis. What mechitzis? He quotes psukim from Navi. Raka benesechem hayim avdilim beinechem levein alakechem. The Jewish people are always lifnei Hashem. When you do averis, it's like you're building an iron curtain to separate between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on Yom Kippur, there's a chiyuv to do tshuva, to remove the mechitzis, to return back to be lifnei Hashem. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. And on Shavuot Shugolim, why is there a chiyuv simcha? Because they have a chid, there's an inyan to be ola regal. Even the women are not mechuyev, but the klal yisrael is mechuyev to be ola regal, to be lifnei Hashem. And Rosh Hashanah, you're obligated to blow shofar. So Kevin Dilly said, "Karan kosik kelifnim dami." That's considered as if you're in the kodesh hakadoshim, and you're to the din of ben kategan and asa sanega. And on Yom Kippur, because there's a chiyev, there's a chiyev tshuva all year long. But the Rambam says on Yom Kippur there's an added chiyev tshuva. Lifnei Hashem to Torah is an added chiyuv tshuva on Yom Kippur. And that chiyuv tshuva brings you back to be again lifnei Hashem, the way the Rambam explains. So he said the Kohen Gadol, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, you have to appoint the Kohen Gadol, and it's the obligation of the Kohen Gadol to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long to supervise the Hakrovas HaKavanah. So since he's obligated to be, that's what the Gemara says, Kohen Gadol all year long is Ki Yisrael Beregel Dami. Yisrael Beregel has a chiyuv simcha because Usmachtim lifnei Hashem, so the Kohen Gadol all year long is lifnei Hashem. That's why he never observes any avelus. There's a problematic Rambam. The Rambam writes Kohen Gadol observes avelus like everybody else. So it's against the Gemara. Gemara is beferish not so. They give difficult terutzim. The Rambam seems to me maybe he found another Gemara for care. The Pashim Pshat and the Pasik perhaps implies that the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe avelus, because the din of lo yitama. The din of lo yitama to design kroivim is because the survivors of the one who died have a chiyuv to bury the mace. And the lo yitama is a new gavelus. The Rambam said lo yitama is a chiyuv to show kavod amesim, and that's the source for avelus yom rishon being deraisa lo yitama. So by the Kohen Gadol he's not betamed to any of the mason. It means that he doesn't have a chiyuv avelus. That's how the Gemara perhaps understood the psukim. He doesn't have a chiyuv avelus. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almona. So there's a Mishnah in Yevam, it's not Daf Samachalaf, and not Mishnah has a shayla. What if a Kohen Hedyot married an almona, and then 50 years after he gets married, he's 70 years old, the Mechaber have to appoint him to become the Kohen Gadol. Does he have to get divorced from his wife and marry someone else who's a psula? So the Mishnah says no. Since when he married her, it was Behet HaGomer, so we have a klal in a marriage, kivin the ishtarya. Since the woman was muteris lebailu at the beginning of the marriage, because he was a Kohen Hedyot is permitted to marry an almona, so she remains muteris lebailu even after we appoint him as the Kohen Gadol. She remains muteris lebailu. So that poses a problem if there is such a klal, kivin the ishtarya ishtarya. Whenever a man marries a woman beheter, come what may, she remains muteris lebailu. So what if a man marries a woman and then the woman has an affair with someone else? How does she become Asura al-Bailo? Why don't you say Kevin Ishtarya Ishtarya? So there is an interesting Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah writes that the Iker Din of Soit Asur LaBaila is only described in the Chumash. If the husband divorced his wife, he's not allowed to remarry her. It says, Kikach Ishisha Chadosha. And then he wants to divorce her, Kimotzeba Erva's daughter, because she had an affair with someone else. He divorces her, then she married someone else, and then the second husband dies. So it says, L'yich Bali Rishon, Shlich Losha Lekach, Da'acharei Asher Hu Tamo. He's not allowed to remarry her because she was a Saita. So the original din of Saita says in the Chumash, well, he already divorced her and he wants to remarry her. So the Kesef Mishnah, I think, has a suggestion, maybe he has a problem with it, Rama. Maybe the only time a man gets malchus for living with his wife and she's a Saita is if he divorced her and he married her afterwards. But if he married a woman beheter and then she has an affair and then he continues to stay with his wife, maybe then he's ain't a loike. Because the ikin din really only is if she's a Saita, he's not allowed to marry her in the first place. But if he was married beheter, so the heter should remain. That's a problematic Kesef Mishnah. The Malbusha Yantif has a tshuva on that Kesef Mishnah. Malbusha Yantif is one of the few achronim that Rabbi Soloveitchik used to quote, because he was the rabbi in Chaslavich before Moshe Soloveitchik. So they had copies of the Sefer and the Beis Medrash. And then Haschinach, he quoted all the time. So it's interesting that Avni Nezer has a tshuva where he discusses this. So he says, the Pasuk says, by Saita, the word v'nitma appears three times. V'nitma, 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 that the Eish Yisisha Zintza becomes Asur HaBaila. Why does he use the Lashon v'nitma? It's a strange usage of the word. Nitma means, the context of the Pasuk means, he had an affair with someone other than a husband. She was not faithful to her husband. So why is it called v'nitma? So it's a remiss to the Nitma. Sofik Tuma B'shul Sayachet Sveika Tomei. Okay, maybe that's where the Chazal based it, on that Pasuk, v'nitma. Still, why did the Pasuk use the verb v'nitma? So the Avnei Nezer has a beautiful biur. The Avnei Nezer, at the end of Chelek Ebenezer, has chidushim al adaf, on Yevamis, on Ksubis, on Mesichtis, in Seder Noshim. So this is one of the, in the chidushim at the end of Chelek Ebenezer. So he says, he quotes the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Levi was a Talmud of the Rif, from the Rif's second career in Spain. First the Rif lived in Fez, Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Fazi, because he lived in Fez. Then at the age of 75, he had to run away because they claimed that he was married by Malchus, which he, apparently they say was not true. So he ran away to Spain and he started a new career. And all of the famous Talmidim are all from his second career. But the first career, we don't know of any of the Talmidim. After the age of 75. So Rabbi Yehuda Levi wrote the Kuzari. It's based on a historical novel, based on a chunk of history, that there was a period of time that the Kuzarim were Jewish. The nation of the king of the Kuzarim converted to Judaism, then the cabinet converted, then all the people converted. And there was a period of time that the Jews, the Kuzarim, were in charge. They were ruling over a big chunk of Russia. I think I must have mentioned in the past that after communism collapsed, they wrote up in the newspaper, the New York Times, that there was a lot of research done on the Kuzarim under the communists, and the communists never allowed it to be publicized because they didn't want anybody to know that there were quite a few years that the Jews were in control. Jews had the government ruling a big chunk of Russia. And after communism collapsed, whenever it was, 20 years ago, so I forgot already. So then they were printing up some of the news, so what they historical records of what they discovered about the Kuzarim. So the Melech HaKuzarim had this recurrent dream that his Kabanoscha Ritzuya, he had religious, he was religiously oriented, was worshipping the wrong religion. So he tried to look into other religions, so he didn't think the Jewish religion could possibly be the true religion, because the Jews were so downtrodden, and they were being harassed, and this trampled on all over. So he only looked into Islam and Christianity. But then, both Islam and Christianity, the representatives of their religion said their religion is based on the Old Testament, based on the Bible. So he decided he's going to look into Judaism. So a rabbi came, the Chavir, and he carries on the whole conversation with the king. So Rabbi Halevi wrote the whole historical novel, what's the conversation back and forth. So one bit of the conversation that David and Eza quotes is that the Melech HaKuzarim asks the Chover, the rabbi, you people are Orthodox and you observe everything that it says in the Bible, how come you don't go to mikveh more often? It says in the Chumash, every month in Donshtik, every time a man is with his wife, he becomes a Balkar, he goes to mikveh. You don't go to mikveh every day, so you don't observe everything in the Bible either. So what are you telling me about the Bible? He says, no, you don't understand. Tumah is only relevant with respect to Kedusha. Tumah and Kedusha are tied to the Sasri. We live so far away from Eretz Yisrael, we don't have any Truma, we don't have any Ma'aseh Sheni, we don't have any Karbonos, so the whole issue of Tumah is irrelevant. So that's why we don't go to mikveh. So then the king asks him, so why do you insist that your wife has to go to mikveh every month? If you don't go to mikveh, why is your wife? He says, no, that's a different din. Taras HaMishpacha has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tara. That's an Issa L'Baila, this is Tumah V'Tara. That's a Chiddush from the Kuzari. Rav Zevin has an essay in one of his Svarim, Le'or HaHalacha, about HaKuzari B'Halacha. What area, what Chiddushim and Halacha do you find in the Sefer HaKuzari? So this is one of them. Rav Soloveitchik never liked Rav Zevin's Svarim, because he always quotes quirks of Halacha. He used to call it the believe it or not of Halacha. The Rav Zevin always quotes, funny Ragat Shavah, and this and that, always strange things. Rav Soloveitchik liked normal things. He never liked the Meiri, he never liked the Rav Yor. These are all strange, always something out of the ordinary. He liked Gemara, Rashi, Taisa, and the Rambam. Normal Rishon. Didn't want all the exotic stuff. So he always made fun of that. So in the essay on the Kuzari Ba'alocha, the quotes, the Kuzari has this Chiddush. Rav Soloveitchik, you don't need the Kuzari for that. It's a Taisus and Bava Kama. Taisus and Bava Kama, the first parak says like that. That Nida Labaila has nothing to do with Nida being an Avatuma, they're unrelated. Rabbi Chana Basman has a whole essay on the topic and a Sefer on Yevamos, the Kovitz Ha'oros. So that's what the Chover, the rabbi, hints is the Melech HaKuzarim. That the whole issue of Tumah is only relevant when having any of Kedusha. You have to eat the Truma B'Kedusha. You have to eat Ma'aseh Sheni B'Kedusha. So Tommy is not allowed to eat Truma. He's not allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. He's not allowed to eat Karbonos. Not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Not allowed to be makir Karbonos. At Kohen Tommy, not allowed to be makir Karbonos. But we live so far away from Eretz Yisrael, there's no Beis HaMikdash, no Karbonos, but it doesn't apply. So Avnei Nezer points out that by the Saita, Asura Baila, it uses the verb v'nitmo. Why v'nitmo? If Tumah has to do a tie to the Sasa with Kedusha, so he says, apparently we assume that when a man marries a girl, it's called Kedushin. Why is it called Kedushin? So the Gemara says it's a Lishna de Rabbanan. One of the first half in Kedusha is Lishna de Rabbanan. In Biblical Hebrew, we say a man gets married. Ishto arusasi nisuasi Negdosi, Tzalosi, Ezrosi, Ezelo, Kenegdo, Vika Chasatzela. Other Lashonis, but Mekudeshes is a Lishna de Rabbanan. Biblical Hebrew, you never find it. So Rabbi Yosef Engel and others, and the Ardenes, they assume the expression is a Lishna de Rabbanan, but the concept is a concept de Raisa. When a couple gets married, there's an element, when a Jewish couple gets married, there's an element of Kedusha that's introduced into their lives. And if the woman becomes a Soita, she becomes Asura Baila. Why? Why don't you say, Holy Ishtarya, Ishtarya, when he married her, everything is Beheter. So the Heter should be locked in. So we say, because when the woman is Mizana with someone else, that's Poygim, Tumah is a type that is Asura with Kedusha. So the Torah says, it's Poygim the Ishus. So the Ishus is an incomplete Ishus. Usually the Ishus has two parts to it, Anisa La Alma and a Heter La Baila. But the Ishus Ishus Insa, the section, that part of the Ishus, Heter La Baila, falls off. It only the Ishus only has an Isar Akuli Alma, no longer has the Heter Lebala. That's why the Chumash uses the verb v'nitmo, that is a tater esasu with kedusha. Half of the Ishus falls off. That's why the Bar Tanura, who wrote a commentary on Mishnah, is Rabbeinu Avadia Bar Tanura. Bar Tanura is a city in Italy, I think. He came from Italy. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He has a whole travelogue when he was traveling. And he died in Eretz Yisrael. He's buried on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, I think. So the Batunure also wrote a fascinating commentary on Pirush Rashi al HaTorah. That's called Amar Noko, Tzema Noki. Like the Tesis, what is it called? Sipsa Chachamim. Sipsa Chachamim is a likut of many commentaries, Maral Mipragin, Rabbi Yom Mizrachi, and so many others, the Labush. So the Rabbi Avadia Bartanura has a commentary. It's printed in the back, a lot of Hamashim. The Mikros Gedolos, they have the Amar Noka, Tzema Noka, printed in the back. So there's a Rashi on the Pasuk, that an Eshu Sisha Zinza gets Misa. I forgot about the Loshan HaPasuk. Gamas Isha Tarog, it says something, the Gam. So Rashi writes, quoting from the Sifro, Teres Kanim, Gam the Rabbis Haboim Acharehem. What does that mean? So there are different Pirushim, how to interpret that Teres Kanim that Rashi quotes. So the Bartanur interprets it to mean, if a woman was Mizana already, and she's already Asur al Bala, she has to get divorced, and then she's Mizana with someone else, so she's Chai Misa, because the first time she was Mizana. Is the Boil Sheni Chai Misa also? Maybe the Ishus is incomplete. Maybe it's like only a Chatzi Shir of Lysinov. So that's why I need a Pasuk to tell me, despite the fact that the Ishus is incomplete now, because it only contains an Isra Akuli Alma, doesn't have a Hefta Labaila, there's still a Chiyav Misa. You don't say that it's like a Chatzi Shir. Like Chatzi Shir, there's no Malkus and there's no Misa. So that's the answer to the question. The question was, if you say there's a principle of Hol Vishtar Yishtar, whenever a couple, when they got married, it was Heta Gomor. So then nothing, even if the Kohen Hedyad married an Almana, then they appoint him as the Kohen Gadol. How can he remain with his wife? He's a Kohen Gadol living with an Almana. The answer is, at the time he got married, it was Beheta, so it remains Hol Vishtar Yishtar. It remains Beheta Gomor. So why not say that by every Isha Soito? He married the woman Beheta, then she becomes a Soito, she should remain with her. So the answer is, the Ishus is broken. That's exactly what it means. Benitmo, part of the Kedusha, so Ishus vanishes into thin air. You only have that half of the Ishus, the half that has the Isra Kuliyam, the Heta, the Baila, you don't have. So the Gemara takes it, Abdinez explains the Gemara in Saita with this on the first paragraph. Hey, the Mishnah says in Saita, let's say the man is married to a woman and then she has an affair with someone else, she's a Saita. He's supposed to divorce her. So the husband dies and he leaves no children. So the Mishnah says the wife is not permitted to have Yibum. She has to have Chalitza, but she's not allowed to have Yibum. Why is she not allowed to have Yibum? So the Gemara says, if she wasn't allowed to live with her husband, Saita Surah Baila, Kavachimer, that she's not allowed to live with the brother-in-law. Why is it Kavachimer? She's only Asurah Baila. Anybody else in the world she can marry. Why is she not allowed to marry the brother-in-law? So the Pashtus is because the Ishus of the Mace is usually carried over to the Yavam, to the Mace's brother. The full Ishus, the Heta LeYavam and the Isa LaShuk. But this woman, the Heta LeBaila, disappeared. The minute that she was Mizana with someone else, her Ishus is incomplete. Doesn't have a Heta LeBaila, only has the other half of the Isra Kuli Alma. So after the husband dies, the Hetala Yavam doesn't exist because there never was a Hetala Baal. The Isra Kuli Alma does exist, so she needs Chalitza, but she can't do Yibum. The Gemara has a din that the Rama writes, if a Kohen is married to a Grusha and the wife takes a Neder, the husband can be made for the Neder, even though he's married by Issa. He's supposed to divorce his wife because when he's not divorcing her, the husband can be made for the Nidre Yishta. But if the man is married to a woman and she's Mizana, she's a Soita, the husband cannot be made for the Nidorim. Why not? If a Kohen married to a Grusha can be made for the Nidorim, the Rambam says, why does the Gemara say that a man is married and his wife is a Soita, not allowed to be made for the Nidorim? The answer is, he can only make for the Nidorim if she's an Issua, if the Ishus is complete. By the Soita, the Ishus is incomplete. That's what it means, v'nitmo. Tumah constitutes a tie to the sasri with the Kedusha. And even though Harei Mekudeshes is a lishna de Rabbanan, but the concept is a concept there, right? Then the Torah has a din that a balmum is not allowed to be makav karbonis on the Beis Hamikdash. Gemara has a Mishnah in Ksubas, so if a man married a woman And then he finds out that she had a wooden leg because she has a glass eye. He didn't realize that she's a balas mum. So if he wants to get rid of her because he finds it repulsive, so he has to give her a get, but he doesn't have to pay her the ksubet. The Gemara, why? Because kiddushet tois. So why does he have to give her a get? So one opinion, you only need a get midrabbanim, and I thought it is a kiddushet tois. One opinion is that it's a suffix. So suffix mamayna lekula, hamayitza machaberola varaya. So maybe it's a kiddushet tois. So he goes to chumra, he needs a get, it's a suffix. Maybe it's a kiddushet tois, maybe it's not. But since it's a suffix, and maybe it's a kedusha tois, so the suffix, he doesn't have to pay the ksubim. So the Gemara says there, anything that's a mum by kohanim is considered a mum by a man who marries a woman that he has to, if he doesn't want to remain married to her, even though he has to give it again, he won't have to pay the ksubim. So there used to be one of the talmidim in yeshiva, he used to joke, he's my age, is the joke about this. There's a Mishnah in Chayris that says that if a kohen is lefty, he can't do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is why? So Pashim Pshat is that it's not because he's a Balmum, but one of the Rishayim says because Balmum. So this fellow, now he's a big Tamachach. So he used to always joke about that. You marry a girl, then you find out afterwards that she's a lefty, so you have a right to divorce her and not pay super. How can it be? Everything, whatever is considered a mum by kahanim is considered a mum by noshim. What does it bother the husband if she's a lefty? Very strange. The Pasha Pshat is it's not because the kohen is a bal mum if he's a lefty. Now she says, Eina Shava Bizarre Shalaran is a little irregular. Or the avoda has to be done with the right hand. He doesn't have a right hand. The right hand means this side of the body and should be the stronger arm. But since he's a lefty, so he doesn't have the yamin. Yamin means this side of the right side of the body and should be the stronger arm, which he doesn't have. By him, it's two different arms. But to say that it's a balmon, that's a difficult thing. I remember when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, so one of the people that delivered a hesped was a Nissen Alpert. Nissen Alpert was a Talmud of Rav Moshe for many years, then he taught in Tiferes Yerushalayim for many years. Then at the end of his life, he taught here in Yeshiva, a very big Talmud Chacham. I think he put out quite a few, some put out, I think, the Ravid on Bava Metzia, put out quite a few Svarim. So he delivered a Hesmer because he was very close to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he mentioned, that always stands out in my mind, he mentioned that he met because he was so close to Rav Moshe. He lived in the same building, I think, because he was so close. So he met many gedolim of that generation. So he said Rav Moshe was the only one who was growing in all areas at the same time. Some people are experts in Aruch Chaim; they don't really know Yeridei. Other people are experts in Yeridei; they don't know Aruch Chaim. Other people know Kochim; they don't know Noshim and Ezekiel. Other people know Noshim and Ezekiel; they don't know Kochim. Other people know Gemara, they don't know Shulchan Aruch. Other people know Shulchan Aruch, they don't know Gemara. A lot of people know everything, but Taurus, they don't know. He says, Rav Moshe was growing in all areas at the same time. So he said, the Chumash has one of the Bali Mumen, is Sarua. Sarua means, if you have two organs in the body that are supposed to be symmetrical, and out of proportion, one arm is way longer than the other, noticeable. One ear is way bigger than the other. One eye is way bigger than the other. They're supposed to be approximately symmetrical, and it's boiled that it's not so. So he always would view all of these Gedolei Torah that he met and his with his closeness to Rav Moshe as Sarua. They were very strong in one area, the other area, they were very weak. So Rav Moshe was the only one from all the Rabbanim that he met. He was growing in all the areas at the same time, and he was strong in all the areas at the same time. And Moshe was unbelievable. Moshe Feinstein was unbelievable. Then the Torah has the din that a tamei is not allowed to eat karbonis, and a behema that's a balmum, you're not allowed to be makor. Just like there's a psul balmum in kohanim, kohen is a balmum, not allowed to be makor karbonis. So if the behema is a balmum, not allowed to be makor of that Korban in the Beis HaMikdosh. Then the Torah has there's a famous vort that they attribute to different Talmid HaChachamim, but it's not correct. So I'll tell you over the vort, and you should know that the Hapi Halacha is not correct. The Torah has a din. When a baby is born, you have to wait 7 days before you bring him as a korban. Shuvas Yom Tachasim, and Yom Mishmini B'Holi, you rotz the korban Isha Hashem. You have to wait 7 days. So there's a Prima Gadim says that the 7 days is Me'es Le'es. Let's say the animal was born on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So you have to wait till next Tuesday afternoon, 2 o'clock, to be makar of the animal. Shivas Yomim, 7 full days, Me'es Le'es. The next Pasuk says, Osav Yezbeno, you're not allowed to shecht Osav Yezbeno B'Yom Echad. That doesn't depend on Me'es Le'es. If the two behemoths were, you're going to shecht both of them on Wednesday. One of them al shecht before the shkim, one of them al shecht after tzeisa gharam. That's 2 different days, even though it's just 2 hours apart. One before shkim, one after tzeisa gharam. But it's on 2 different days. Yom shel Torah depends by year by worker. Hayom halach achar alayla. Every day in the Jewish calendar begins with the night. So osu ezmano depends on yom shel Torah, not on me'es le'es. Then the third din, if you bring a korban toido, you can eat it yom v'layla. Why yom v'layla? Because halayla halach achar hayom. You have 3 different dinim, one after the other, that depend on yomim. The first din depends on yomim be'es le'es. The second din depends on yomim, yom shel Torah, on shkia, vayer, vayvoker, hayom halach achar alayla. And then the third din is halayla halach achar yom. The Gemara says in Perek Yid Anoshe, then in Kochim, it's halayla halach achar yom. So one can ask, what kind of religion is this? That the laws contradict each other. How do you judge the days? They say a day is Meis Leis, 24 hours, a day is Vayera Vahivoika, or a day is Fakert. Yom and then Laila, Halal Halach Achayam. So that's why the next pasuk says, Ani Hashem, don't ask any questions. That's a word that they used to say. There was a fellow, Yiyush Zon, in Europe. I don't know if he was religious, but he put out a collection of Bertlach on Chumash, and on the Siddur, and on the Machzer, and on the Yom HaTayvim. He used to print it in the Yiddish newspaper in Europe, and then it's in Yiddish. Now they have it in Hebrew. Everybody uses it in Hebrew. Now, Otzareinu HaYoshon, Fununza Alta Oitzer. He has all these vertla. So this vertla is not correct, because that Prima Godim, who says that Yimashivas Yamatachasinma, it says in Yeri Day, you shouldn't shecht any animal, even today, not coming, you shouldn't shecht any animal before the 8th day. So the Prima Gadim says it depends on the Eis Leis. So Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page on the Prima Gadim says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is beferish that you don't need 7 days Eis Leis. 7 days is on the calendar. Yom Mishal Torah, if the Behema was born a minute before the Shkia, that counts as the first day. And then you just need another 6 days and that's it. So it's not that there are 3 dinim. It was a cute vart, but it's not Eis Gehav, not Pi Halacha. Then the Torah lists off all the Yamim Tovim. There are 3 parshios where you have all the Yamim Tovim list off Emor, and then in Pinchas, and then in Re'eh. So the Torah says 3 times, Asher Tikra Osam B'moy Adam. Osam is Chas Avov, all 3 times. It's spelled Aleph Tov Mem. Instead of being spelled Aleph Vav Tov Mem, it's spelled Chaser, all 3 times. So the Gemara says, B'darshan Atem Afilim Mizidim, Atem Afilim Mutim, Atem Afilu Shogigim, even if the Bezin made a mistake. And the Kiddush HaChodesh of the Ibra Hashana, the Psak is valid. So there's a Pasuk in Chumash Devarim, Ki Yipalim Imcha Dov Al HaMishpat, Bein Dam Ladam, Bein Din Ladin, Bein Negel Lanegel, Divei Rivis Pesherecha, if there's a Machloikis in a community and it's causing friction, Machloikis in Halacha, so the people are mechuyev to go ask the Bezna Gadol, whatever they paskin is binding, and not allowed to paskin against them. L'sasim al-tom m'kav ha-dovash yigid l'cha yamin ha-smol. So Rashi on that pasuk quotes from the Sifrei, yamin ha-smol afir omrim l'cha yamin shu small, or small shu yamin. Even if the Bezna Gadol made a mistake in giving a psak, mechuyev to follow the psak of the Bezna Gadol. So the Ramban HaChumash writes, as we have the din, atem afir l'mutim, even if the Bezna made a mistake, the psak of the Bezna is binding. That's an innocent Ramban. So that's a Pela Gadol. The Ramban himself writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, how can that be? How can it be that the psak is binding? A minshu is small shimin. How can it be? It's against the first Mishnah in Harius. It says if the Bezna Gadol gave a psak and somebody knows that they made a mistake, you're not allowed to follow the psak of the Bezna Gadol. So doesn't the first Mishnah in Horias contradict this line in the Sifrei Ayamin Shusmo? So the Ramban says in the Sefer Mitzvahs, he writes, he thinks Ayamin Shusmo, the correct reading should be Afila Nirem B'Einecho Ayamin Shusmo. Even if in the eyes of the layman thinks that the Pesach of the rabbis doesn't make any sense. If he's not the learned person, it doesn't make common sense. But if you know how to learn, yeah, that's the halacha. If you ask a Talmud Chacham, everyone will say, yeah, that's the halacha. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes, Afila Nirem B'Einecho Ayamin Shusmo. But if they know, someone knows that the Beis Hamikdash made a mistake, the Pesach is not binding. So there, Ramban and Chumash is quite a problem. The one and only area where the Pesach is binding, even though it's an error, is only by Kiddush HaChadosh and Dibur HaShonah, because of that tem. Because the fact that the word is spelled Aleph Tov Mem, instead of being spelled Aleph Vav Tov Mem. We believe that the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, write the word Oysam Chasavav. So there's a reason, we dash in Atem, it's all up to the business. But this is the only area of Halacha where the Pesach is binding, even if it's an error. Rashi writes, Rashi quotes over here, it's quoting a Sifra, Toras Kahanim, that it's, you see, it says three times Atem, so Toras Kahanim seems to say, once goes on, Atem Afilu Mutim, Atem Afilu Shogigim, Atem Afilu Mizidim. Rashi is quoting from the Toras Kahanim, the three Atems don't go on Shogigim, Mutim, and Mizidim. Three attempts, one goes on Kiddush HaChadosh and one goes on Ibur HaShonah. That if the Beis Nagadol makes a mistake, it's binding. The Beis makes a mistake in Kiddush HaChadosh, or if the Beis makes a mistake in Ibur HaShonah, it's binding even though it's an error. So the Tzlach is a sefer on Brochus that was written by the Nodi Biyudim. Beautiful sefer. Yeah, the Rav Soloveitchik knew the Tzlach very well on Brochus. He knew the Menchaschina very well, and knew the Tzlach, the Malbusha Yanta, most of the Achranim, it wasn't familiar with. So the Tzlach and Brachas has a Chiddush towards the very end of Brachas, one of the last Dafim and Brachas. He has a Chiddush based on a Marsha that Atem Afilu Mutim, if Bez makes a mistake, the Kiddush Achadish Chabar Ibar Shana doesn't apply. And there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that seems to contradict it. That's what the Tzlach works on, that Kash. The Amim Tovim I referred to in the Chumash as Mikra Kodesh. What does that mean, Mikra Kodesh? So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Mikra Kodesh, the Gemara has two pshatim from the Tanakh. One pshat, Mikra Kodesh, a day that has Kiddush, you're not allowed to do Malacha. The other pshat is, no, Mikra Kodesh means you should recite Kiddush. So one Tanakh is saying that Mikra Kodesh says by Shabbos and by Yom Tov. So you see, their Kiddush on Yom Tov is their Isa, according to one Tana. The Magen Mishnah writes that there were those that think that Kiddush is only a Isa on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, Kiddush is only the Rabban. But they asked, this Gemara says, Mikra Kiddush means Kiddush. So the Ramban has his own pshat, the Mikra Kiddush. Says the Pasuk speaks about Kroi Ho'eda. Eile Kroi Ho'eda. What is Mikra Ho'eda? Likro means to gather together. So Kroi Ha'eda means these were the leaders of the community who would gather together whenever there would be a communal issue. These were the leaders who had to discuss the issue. So he says, Mikra Kodesh means the day of holy assemblage. Then on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they point out the Ramban sheet is that Tefillah B'chol Yom is only the Rabbanon. The Rambam says there's an obligation when I turn to daven once a day, every day. The Gemara says Tefillah is the Rabbanon means the fact they have to daven three times a day. That's only the Rabbanon. The fact that there's a particular Nusach HaTfilah where it's printed in the Siddur, that's only the Rabbanon. But in principle, that you have to daven once a day, every day, that's a din derais. So the Ramban disagrees. He says all of Tfilah is only the Rabbanon. But Tfilah B'tzibur and Shabbos and Yom Tov is derais, because that's Mikra Kodesh. Mikra means gather together, a day of holy assemblage. B'nai Yisrael have to gather together for davening, Tfilah B'tzibur. Have to gather together for Hallel on Yom Tov and for Talmud Torah. You have to have. Moshe Rabbeinu made the takana to lein shelo yechol shlosh esamim b'lo Torah. They should lein kriyas hatorah every Monday and Thursday and Shabbos. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Ramban seems to assume on this pasuk Mikra Kodesh that the kriyas hatorah is deraisa. That's part of Mikra Kodesh, a day of holy assemblage. There's a Prima Godim in Hilchas Shavuos. He writes a Chiddush. He said, there's a Gemara says, if a man dies and his wife needs chalitza, so the brother does chalitza, the brother has to be bar mitzvah. Because it says, kach yosu l'ish, ish pat l'kotten. A kotten can't do chalitza. So usually we assume whoever has kol hashigil l'chlal shanim, higil l'chlal simonim. If he's 13 years old, he probably has shtei saris. So with respect to all dinim derabanan, we can rely on the chazok, on the ruba de l'esekama. Since he's 13, he probably has shtei saris. So you can let him daven for an omen, you can give him an aliyah and so on. But to do chalitza, that's a din d'oraisa, you have to be a gadol. Or to do ibud, they used to have to sign a get. They want a child to sign a get, to be one of the eidim on a get. So you have to make sure that he's bar mitzvah. You have to be baidik to make sure that in addition to being 13 years old, that he has the shtei saris. Or Yevama to participate in Chalitza. You have to check to make sure she has Tesaris. So there's an opinion by all dinim derais, it's a question, by all dinim derais, you have to be Baidik, or only by Anyoni Ishus. So some are of the opinion, all dinim derais. So the Pim Gadim writes, Pim Gadim was a Galatiana, but he lived in Germany for a long time. He was salaried, he was a Malamed in Frankfurt, not the two Frankfurts, the two cities Frankfurt in Germany. He was the Malabit in the Frankfurt on the Oder, not on the Main, on the Main River. The Frankfurt that Breuers came from, the Frankfurt on the Main. And he was a Malabit in the other one. So he writes that on Leil Shavuos, usually everybody stays up. But then the older folks go to sleep. At 1 o'clock they go to sleep, and they daven the regular min. But it comes in the morning, so most of the people are younger people, just after bar mitzvah, and a couple of older people. So he says, tefillah b'tzibur is, the Beis Yosef thinks that the Masadri HaTfila, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who composed the Nusach HaTfila, must have thought like the Ramban, because otherwise, why did they put the word Mikra Kodesh into the Nusach HaTfila? It must be because it has a Shaychus b'tfila, that tefillah b'tzibur is deraisa on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Prima Gordon goes on that basis, and that Tfilah B'tzibur is deraisa on Shabbos and Yontif based on the Ramban. So he says, when it comes Shavuos in the morning, without the younger children who are just barely bar mitzvah, you won't have a minion. They didn't have a minion of adults, real adults who were much older. So he says, you have to be boidik to make sure that they have shtei saris. Otherwise, with respect to din deraisa, you can't rely on the chazoka. On the Ruba Dalesa Kamon, that whoever's 13 years old probably has Shtei Saris. That's a Chiddush. It's a Chavis HaYochid. We daven Maariv in Shul. 100 people daven Maariv in Shul. Then in the morning, it's going to be a minion of 15 people. Every tefillah on Yontav has to be tefillah b'tzibur. Or you should have at least one tefillah should be tefillah b'tzibur. Or it could be that it's a Chavis HaTzibur to see to it that there should be a tefillah b'tzibur. Means every Yochid is b'chuyif to daven. Every single tefillah on Yom Tov, tefillah b'tzibur, that's very questionable whether that's what the Ramban meant. Pashta says he didn't mean that. Anyway, that's a famous Ramban. Okay, everyone should be healthy. So tomorrow morning, Mishal Tov Matzlachas, there's a bechina in this room at 10 o'clock. I'm going out of town, and I'll be back on Monday night. So on Tuesday morning, I'll be giving Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a couple of shiurim. No, not Thursday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and next week. Then the next week also, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be giving a few whatever. There's going to be a sign that will announce what time the shiurim are. If you have an opportunity to, you have to study for your finals. So if you're afraid you're not going to do well, so don't come to the shiur. But if you have time, so you're invited to come to the shiur. Okay, and then we'll have to figure out what we're going to learn in the June's month. There'll be something interesting. I would prefer to learn either the last parag at Pashut or to learn the beginning of the Cheskes Habat. But we'll negotiate. Okay.